The Green Hornet. He hunts the biggest of all game, public enemies who try to destroy our America. With his faithful valet Cato, Britt Reed, daring young publisher, matches wits with racketeers and saboteurs, risking his life that criminals and enemy spies will feel the weight of the law by the sting of the Green Hornet. Ride with Britt Reed in a thrilling adventure, The Man Who Came Back. The Green Hornet strikes again. In the commandant's office at a Nazi prison camp, a young officer stood before the desk of his superior. He was tall, dark, gray-eyed, and of medium, though athletic build, not the usual blonde Aryan type of which the Nazis were so boastful. The commandant motioned him to a chair.
At ease, Lieutenant Weber. Sit down and I will discuss why you are here.
Danke schön, mein Kapitän.
We will speak only in English, Lieutenant. The reason will soon be made known to you.
Very well, Captain Muller. As you wish.
You've done good work with Himmler. Your training for the last few months has been strenuous and no doubt mystifying.
Yes, sir, it has puzzled me a bit. I couldn't understand why, since my work under Mr. Himmler seemed to please, I was sent to take more training at the secret school at Blinks.
Now I will tell you. We've searched throughout the Vaterland for men of your description.
So I've learned.
From the reports of your good work, and from your description and photograph, she was selected for a very important assignment. That's why you were sent to Blentz.
Thank you, Captain.
You were brought up in the United States, is that not so?
Yes, I had all my schooling there.
Mm-hmm. You're most familiar with them, Americans, then. And you speak the language as one of them.
Oh, yes, of course. But I'm loyal to the Nazi party, as you can readily see.
Do you think you would have been selected for this work and recommended by Herr Himmler himself if he didn't know that to be true?
Thank you, Captain.
At Blentz, they had you listen to recordings of an American. Had you learned to imitate the voice, is that not so?
Yes, that's true. They tell me I have mastered it perfectly. But why?
Of course. You're anxious to know what it's all about. Listen. Here in this prison camp is an American lieutenant, a pilot who was captured at Hamburg. The voice you studied was his voice.
I see.
Now, come over here with me. There on the wall is a small picture. Behind it is a hole through which one can see into the next room without being seen. He's in there now. Look through.
Yes, Captain.
Do you see? He is tall, dark, and the figure is like...
Like me.
Exactly. Close it now. There. Come back to my desk. That is it, Lieutenant. You see? The American is almost exactly like you. Gray eyes, too. But you must look exactly like him. And you will before we're through.
But I don't get this. What the...
See? You speak just like him also, and that's excellent. In one respect you differ, and in one only. The shape of the nose. From the front you are alike, but from the side there's a difference. That will be taken care of by Dr. Weissman, one of our foremost plastic surgeons.
You mean you're going to have me operated upon to change the shape of my nose?
Yes, that is right. Dr. Weissman will have the American taken to the operating room under the influence of a strong drug. She will be placed beside him and the operation performed. If there's by chance any other physical difference, Dr. Weissman will take note of it and correct it so that when he is through, you and the American will be exactly alike. Not to be told apart. You see?
Captain, this is so unusual.
It is for your country, Lieutenant. The reason for all this is that you are to take the American's place.
In the prison camp?
He's soon to be exchanged. But you will be in his place to go back to America and carry out our plans there.
So that's it. Oh, but what of his people, his family? Perhaps a wife or a sweetheart. Surely they'd soon
know. We have intercepted all his mail. We will tell you much that you should know. But what you don't know will not matter. For you see, his medical report will show that he is subjected to spells of amnesia.
Amnesia? Then, in an emergency, I wouldn't have to remember.
That is right. When questions arise that you cannot answer, when you meet people you should know as the American, she will have the excuse of amnesia. It's clever of him to think of that, huh?
Clever is right. Amazing is more like it. Yet I don't know.
You have doubts, Lieutenant? Perhaps the operation is not to your liking. Is that it?
Oh, no, Captain. I'll go through with it. I think it an honor to be chosen for this assignment.
Good. You've spoken like a true Nazi. Be ready, then, for Dr. Weissman this afternoon. In 6 weeks, you will be sailing to America as Chan Moore, Lieutenant Pilot of the United States Army Air Corps, an exchange prisoner from Nazi Germany.
Months later, Weber, posing as John Moore, has been taken into the Moore home without question. Noticeable changes in habits had been laid to his experiences and condition by Mr. and Mrs. Moore, who looked upon him only as the boy whom they'd sent away to war and who'd come back a man. One afternoon in the office of the Daily Sentinel, Britt Reed was talking to Miss Case, his secretary.
It's only 5 o'clock. Are you leaving now?
Oh, yes, I'm going to stop in at the Moores before I go on home. They're having a few friends in to meet young John Moore, who's just come home from a Nazi prison camp.
Lieutenant Moore has become quite a hero. I've been reading about him. By the way, Axford went out to the Meagle Plane Factory this afternoon. I believe the lieutenant and one or two other returned prisoners are to give a talk to the workers there.
That's right. But young Moore won't do much talking. From what I know of him in the past, he never was much of a speaker. Oh, here's Axford now.
Hello, Reed. Hi, Casey.
Well, Axford, how'd it go?
Oh, the usual thing. The boys gave a pep talk to the defense workers. Hey, that young Moore now, he really gave it to him. Sure, and he's not one to want for words.
Well, that's surprising. Being in the Air Corps must have given him a lot of self-confidence.
Well, he's got plenty of that, all right. He was quite the hero to them workers.
Well, write up your story on it and get it to Gunnigan.
Sure, and it isn't much of a story. The same sort of stuff. Nothing exciting happened, so I left as soon...
Mr. Reed's office, Miss Case speaking.
This is Hale. Let me talk to the chief right away.
Just a minute. It's Gail Manning for you, Mr. Reed.
Oh, I'll think about him. Hello, Gail. What's up?
Plenty, Chief. A fire broke out and caused an explosion at the Amigo Plane Factory.
The Amigo Plane Factory? Well, what caused it? Do they know?
No, but they hinted it could be sabotage. Yet they've been very careful. The place is heavily guarded. And nobody's been in there today but those young army men with their police escort and a few reporters.
I see. Well, stay on the spot and get all the details. Get your story to Gunnigan as soon as you can.
All right, Chief. I'll get something in for the next edition. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Gail.
What's it all about, Reed?
Seems as though there's been sabotage at the Amigo plane factory.
Sure, and the president himself couldn't get by the gates out there without being identified and searched.
Yeah, I know, but someone did get by and got away with it. Someone who's too smart to get caught.
Well, I went out in the squad car along with them young army fellas. They even searched me. Them boys were the only ones they let through without all that rigmarole.
The FBI will go through the place with a fine-tooth comb. If it's an inside job, they'll find the guilty one. You can bet on that. Well, I'm going over to meet young Lieutenant Moore, Miss Case. I'll call back later, just in case anything new turns up.
Oh, Britt Reed, I'm so glad you could come.
How are you, Mrs. Moore? Where's our young hero, Johnny?
Right over there. Come, I know he'll be so glad to see you again. Oh, just a minute.
Yes?
But if John seems to act rather strangely, you mustn't notice it. His condition, you know. My boys had such terrible experience.
Of course, I understand.
John, dear, here's someone I'm sure you'll be glad to see.
Oh, yes. Well, it's nice seeing you again.
Well, Johnny, I'm happy to see you back home safe.
Thanks. Thanks very much. I'm glad to be back. May I get you a cocktail?
Oh, thanks, yes.
I'll be right back with it.
I don't think Johnny remembers me, Mrs. Moore.
You see, that's what I mean. He has lapses of memory now and then.
I see. He was a victim of amnesia then?
Yes, that's what his medical report from the prison camp shows, so they tell me.
Well, that explains it. He certainly didn't know my name. At least he didn't mention it.
Don't say anything about it to him, will you?
Oh, of course not.
Ellen, you know John's fiance is bringing over his dog. He hasn't asked about the dog yet, but I'm sure that's one thing he will remember when he sees it again.
Yes, I don't see how he could ever forget Wagger. Johnny named him and brought him up, and as I recall, they were inseparable.
Yes, the poor animal was so disconsolate after John went away. That's why Ellen took him. Oh, here's John now, the cocktail.
Here you are. One for you, Mother.
Thank you, Johnny.
Thank you, son.
Your mother tells me Ellen will soon be here. I wish you, Johnny. I haven't seen her since you went away.
Oh, she's fine, thanks.
Ellen's such a sweet girl. John's a very lucky boy to have a girl like that.
And I agree with you, Mother.
As I recall, she's a very pretty girl, too.
Well, John always used to say he'd pick a girl just like the girl his father married.
Well, that goes without saying, I'm sure.
Oh, Ellen's arrived. And look, John, here comes the surprise she brought. Down, Wagger. Oh, gracious, he's so glad to be home again.
Wagger, be quiet. I just couldn't restrain him after we got in the door. He must have sensed that Johnny's back. Oh, hello, Mr. Reed. I haven't seen you in quite some time.
Hello, Ella. I was afraid I'd be a stranger to you by this time. Oh, easy, Wagger. Well, here's your dog, Johnny. You better watch out when he realizes it's you. He'll jump all over you and spill that cocktail. Here, I'll hold it.
Oh, my God.
Yes, son. Your dog, Wagger. Get down, boy. He came right to me. He hasn't seen you yet.
Call him, Johnny. Look, he's staring at you.
Oh. Here. Come on, Wagger. Nice fellow.
Well, he doesn't seem to recognize me.
Come on, Wagger.
Pat him, Johnny. Rub his head like he used to.
Nice fella. Aren't you glad to see me, Wagger?
He snapped at you.
Yes, yeah. I'd better leave him alone.
Wagger, stop it. Aren't you ashamed, bad dog? I'll take him out, if you'll all excuse me. Perhaps later he'll be all right. I'll lock him up.
Oh, Johnny, I'm so sorry Wagger acted like that.
Oh, forget it. It's all right. Will you excuse us, Mr. Reed? I want to have a few words with Ellen.
Well, of course, Johnny. You two run right along.
I'm glad you came over, Mr. Reed. I was hoping you would. You really won't mind if we...
Oh, I know how it is. You go right along.
Just make yourself at home. I'll see you before you leave.
Johnny, something seems to have come between us. Can't just put my finger on it, but...
Yes. But you must realize...
Oh, I know what you're going to say, your condition and all that. But I do consider that. Yet this difference shouldn't be there after all we've meant to each other.
Give me time, Bess. Things will soon be as they were with us.
I wonder.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Don't say.
Here's the house, General. Are you coming in?
Well, just to the door. I have to hurry back and get cleaned up a bit. I have to attend the first flight christening of a plane a group of Union workers donated to the war. And some officials are to take off from the city airport in it afterward.
Oh.
I'll call you tomorrow. Just forget all this. Promise?
I'll try, John. Good night.
Good night. Who was that, I wonder? Looked like somebody coming here for a minute. So... girl is beginning to get suspicious. That will never do at all. I'll have to do something about that. Well, now to go back home to Mother. What's that on the dashboard? A seal. The seal of the American criminal, the Green Hornet.
Britt Reed returned to his apartment, where Cato, his faithful valet and chauffeur, the only person who knew Reed's identity as the Green Hornet, put away the car. The two men were talking.
What good it do us to put seal of Green Hornet in car of Lieutenant Moore, Mr. Britt?
I'm engaging in a little war of nerves, Cato. Before I left the party, I managed to slip into his room and left another seal on his mare. He should see that one when he gets back home.
But why you do this to son of a friend?
Because I suspect something. something almost unbelievable. I have reason to believe that young fellow was not Johnny Moore.
Not Lieutenant John Moore? Why you suspect such a thing, Mr. Britt?
Well, his strange actions, for one thing. He pretended to know me, yet he didn't know my name.
But it is said he was victim of amnesia.
True. But amnesia causes a person to forget whole incidents in his life, not just a detail here and there. If Johnny had forgotten me as an amnesia victim, he would have said he didn't remember me and let it go at that. This chap pretended.
Oh, what else you find, Mr. Britt?
His pet dog, Wagger. They were inseparable before Johnny Moore went away. But when the dog was brought in, he growled and snapped at this fellow as he would at a stranger he didn't like.
Dogs not forget friends.
That's the way it struck me, Cato.
Oh, what's that you take from your pocket?
A cocktail glass wrapped in my handkerchief.
Why you bring home glass, Mr. Britt?
Because the fellow I met as Johnny Moore this afternoon brought a drink to me in this. His fingerprints are on it as well as mine.
Oh, but how you know they not be real lieutenant's prints?
Well, I have some more or less recent letters from Johnny Moore in my desk. I want you to take this glass into the laboratory with a couple of those letters. See if you can find a print of Johnny's on one of the letters and then compare the prints on this glass.
That not take long. But if you suspect this man not real Johnny, why you not contact FBI, Mr. Britt?
Well, first, because I don't wish to embarrass my friends the Moores by having their son investigated on suspicion. Then if he does turn out to be what I suspect, the Green Hornet can move to bring the matter to a head so that the FBI can move in.
Yes. Yes, that's so. I go now to make tests for fingerprints.
Good. I'll be anxiously waiting. Hello?
Hello, Chief. This is Gail Mannon.
Oh, yes, Gail. What's on your mind?
I thought you'd like to know the outcome of the investigation at the Amigo factory. It was sabotage.
Was, huh? How do they know that?
Well, they found evidence that showed the fire was started by an incendiary pencil. That's what they called it. That was dropped in some waste material out there by someone this afternoon.
I see. Did you get the story to Gunnigan?
Oh, yes. I'm going out to the airport in a little while to cover the christening on that worker's plane. And those same exchange prisoners are going to be out there for the send-off.
You mean Lieutenant Moore and the others?
Yeah, that's right.
I see. All right, Gail. Maybe you might get a good story out of that, too. You never can tell.
Well, I hope for the sake of those big shots who are going to take off in it that somebody doesn't sabotage the plane tonight.
Yes, let's hope nothing like that happens, even if it would make headline news. Well, good luck, Gail. I'll see you in the morning. Goodbye.
Goodbye, Chief.
So Lieutenant Moore is going to be at the airport. If my suspicions prove correct, the lives of those bigwigs she mentioned will be in danger.
A short time later, Cato came from the laboratory with the results of his tests.
Mr. Britt, fingerprints on glass, not those of real Lieutenant Moore.
Just as I expected, Cato. Moreover, if the real Johnny Moore had found those Green Hornet seals, he would have gone to his father, who would have called me immediately, knowing that the Sentinel has offered a reward for the Hornet.
Then fellow in Lieutenant's house must be spy.
Yes, and a very clever one. He can go and come as he pleases. I don't doubt that he was responsible for the Amigo factory explosion. But if something isn't done, he'll probably do another act of sabotage at the airport tonight.
You will need the Black Beauty, Mr. Britt?
Yes. It's up to the Green Hornet to stop this man before he does any more damage and to show him up for what he is. Get the gas gun and the mask, Cato. We have a difficult job ahead of us, and we're leaving right now.
Stepping through a secret panel in the rear of a closet in his bedroom, Britt Reed and Cato went along a narrow passage built within the walls of the apartment house itself. This passage led to an adjoining building which fronted on a dark side street. Though supposedly abandoned, this building served as the hiding place for the sleek, super-powered Black Beauty, streamlined car of the Green Hornet. Britt Reed pressed a button. The great car roared into life. A section of the wall in front raised automatically, then closed as the gleaming Black Beauty sped into the darkness.
Cato, you take care of Wagger.
You take a risk getting the dog, Mr. Britt?
No, I know he was locked up in Johnny's shop in the basement. I got him out through the basement window.
But if he had barked at you...
Well, Wagger knows me too well. And remember, you can't fool a dog. To him, I'm Britt Reed, not the Green Hornet.
That's true. What'd you take dog for?
For two reasons. He may come in handy tonight. And that chap would have found a way to get rid of him. The dog knows his secret too, you know.
What now, Mr. Britt?
That lighted window up there over the sun porch is Johnny's room. I'm going up and have a talk with that phony lieutenant.
But that do no good. Perhaps he call police. Say Green Hornet threaten him. They believe him.
Being what he is, Kate, we'll play smart. I'll try to make a deal with him. He must have a contact here in the city. I hope he'll leave the house to reach his friend, and we can follow and get them both. I don't want to have a showdown in the Moore home.
Let's pray it work out as you hope, Mr. Britt. But how you get them and proof in the hands of police?
After we find out where he goes, you'll call the police, Cato. I'll take care of the rest. Wait here till I come out. Now I'll find out just how smart our friend up there really is.
I sure set off this uniform, if I do say so myself.
And a halt!
Do not that.
Ah, I see you understand German and speak it.
Say, what is this?
Thanks for having the window open. I'll come in.
A masked man. You must be the Green Hornet.
Perhaps I am.
What do you want here? Haven't we boys been through enough over there without coming back to help?
Drop that stuff, Nazi. That uniform isn't yours.
Now listen here. I'm Lieutenant John Moore. This is my home. I can call out and have my family come up.
Perhaps
and...
so. But would you want them to see, well, some evidence I have in my pocket that will prove you're not John Moore?
Well, you have no such evidence. There could be no such evidence.
Take a chance and find out.
Why did you come here?
To make a deal. You Nazi agents always have plenty of good American money to throw around.
Oh, you're putting up a bluff.
Then call my bluff.
It's blackmail, that's what it is. Because you read that I've been a victim of amnesia, you think you can hold something over my head.
Still sticking to your story, huh? Well, don't waste my time. How about that sabotage at the factory today and your plans for tonight?
I admit nothing. But to get rid of you, perhaps we can come to an understanding. How much?
$10,000. And you get the envelope I have in my pocket.
Well, how do I know you won't continue to bother me?
I'll give you a Nazi promise on it.
You, the notorious Green Hornet. Why, you act like an ordinary sneak thief.
We seem to have much in common. Stop quibbling.
I don't have that much here. I'd have to get it.
I'll wait.
Oh, no. I mean I'll have to leave the house to get it. Come back in an hour.
All right. I will. And if you have the police here, they'll get the envelope. Don't forget that.
So, the Green Hornet's not as smart as I heard he was.
He's stopping at the home of the well-known Dr. Gerber, the psychiatrist. Turn up the side street, Cato.
I think he fall for your trick too easily, Mr. Britt.
He's smart, kid. We knew I'd follow. But I'll be on guard. And stop here. We can see the side of the house from here. Look, the light's going on in that room off the terrace. Those are French doors opening out there. They want it to be easy for me to find them and get in.
You find other way in?
Oh, I wouldn't disappoint them, Cato. I want you to go to the corner store and phone the police. Tell them you saw the Green Hornet forcing his way into Dr. Gerby's house. Then come back here, get the dog, and bring him just outside those French doors. Keep him quiet. You'll know when to act. Now get going and hurry.
If this Hornet has followed you, he should be appearing very soon, Levin.
Yes, I expect he will. I have a gun handy in my coat pocket. We must get that envelope from him. We can't take chances on what may be in it. As you pass him the money, I'll shoot. And you get the police, and I'll go on to the airport. I'll stand on the other side of the glass doors. I'll stay on this side.
I think there's someone out there now, Quinn.
Well, come right in, Hornet. We're expecting you. Keep your hands up.
Surprise party, huh?
So, this is the Green Hornet.
Yes, we're... three of a kind, it seems.
As long as you followed me here, we'll conclude our little business. You have that envelope?
I do not want to deal with this man. I'm a respectable doctor.
The company you keep would convict you in any court, Doctor. Now, where's the money?
Get it, Doctor, from your desk.
Come over here. I will give it to you.
Very well.
No. First, you must place that envelope on a desk.
No soap, Nazi. I get the money in my hand first.
Well, a man facing a gun without a weapon in his hand, you've got a lot of nerve.
Come on, Lug, complete the deal and stop stalling.
All right. Gerber, give him the money first.
Here it is. This packet contains $10,000.
Fine. Thanks.
Now the envelope. Oh, yes. Yeah.
Shoot, Webber, shoot!
Wider, Wider, get him, Wider! Oh, the dog! Take this dog off! Take it, you mug!
Come on!
Get out of here!
Down, Wagner, down!
Get him,
now, you underhanded rat, you're next.
No, I'll pay you twice as much. Now, wait, please. Gas gun, I can't...
The police, I'll put this envelope where they'll find it. Wagner, watch those men. Watch them, Wagner. I'll add a few words to the note.
Let go, police.
Here, Cato, $10,000 for the Red Cross. Come on, now, open the envelope. We'll take care of it.
Come on. Look. The doc's out like a light.
Hey, there's Lieutenant Moore. Call it the herring. And look at the mutt growling over him. Oh, hey, look, Sarge. Here's an envelope on the desk.
Give it here. Hold that dog, Axford. He doesn't seem to like Lieutenant Moore. Hey, get this.
What's it say?
It's a printed note. It says, the man known as Lieutenant Moore is a Nazi agent. Fingerprints enclosed prove he is not John Moore.
Great saints in heaven.
Shut up a minute, will you, Axford? It says, give this to the FBI. His real name is Weber, and Dr. Gerber is also an agent. The dog belongs to the real Lieutenant John Moore. Ask them about a Mego factory sabotage.
Who could have left that note, Sarge?
I don't know, and I don't care. It deserves looking into. Meantime, we'll take the two of them down and hold them for investigation till we get a report from the FBI.
Old man Moore will skin you alive if that stuff isn't true.
And look at the snarl on that dog. If that's Moore's dog, it sure don't like him.
Sure, and you're right about that, all right. But I'd sure like to know how all this come about. The Hornet. The guy that Carl said he was breaking in here.
It's the Hornet, all right. They must have all been in together and these two double-crossed him. So he showed him up with that note and prints.
It's all such a shock,
Of course it is, Mrs. Moore. But it's better to have found out now than to have let it go on.
Then it's all true, is it, about him being a spy now?
Yes, we have his full confession, which involves Dr. Gerber as another agent. Mrs. Moore, we've contacted the Red Cross, and they'll do what they can to contact your real son. I'm sure he's still safe.
Thank you, Mr. Martin. We American mothers have learned to take things as they come and keep smiling.
That's the spirit that'll help to win the war, Mrs. Moore.
And to think that the Green Hornet did the country a favor when he tried to do his pals a dirty trick.
The Green Hornet is a vicious criminal, Axford. But I guess even he has his hates. And one of them must be Nazis.
Mr. Lexby, paper! Nazi agent posing American exchange prisoner captured! Green Hornet involved in Amigo factory sabotage. Been all about it. Green Hornet still at large. Set the Luxury paper.
You have just heard the adventure, The Man Who Came Back. These exciting dramas are sent to you each week at this same time. They are copyrighted features of the Green Hornet Incorporated. All characters, names, places, and incidents used in this drama are purely fictitious. Bob Heitz speaking. This program came to you from the studios of WXYZ in Detroit. This is the Blue Network.